God is a spirit, and those that must worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God has commissioned his servant Pastor Toluwa Lugo Adeola with the mandate of true worship, teaching the church the patterns of true worship. Be blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. Precious Jesus, tonight we confess our need of you. We receive your outflows with thanksgiving. Speak to us. Touch as you will, but let it be evident that we have met with you. For Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah of Lords. Messiah is the King of Kings. I know it's an old song, but that's what he wants to hear.
Messiah is the Lord of Lords.
One more time. Don't sing a song, acknowledge him tonight. Messiah. Let's do it one more time. Yes, Messiah. You're the King of Kings. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, adora gabasata bahaya. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Arada sesese sinina baraza bayana bade siyo papa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay, you can be seated now. You can be seated now. You can be seated now.
Hallelujah.
Stay with me. Stay with me.
Hallelujah.
Oh Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come, 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 come.
Hallelujah.
Let's go one more time.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
not sit down, but just breathe the song. Sing it, breathe it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, we worship you. The dread of Isaac. God of Abraham, the strength of Israel. We give you thanks. So we worship our donor. We worship our donor. We worship our donor. So we worship our donor. I worship our donor. I worship our donor. I worship our donor. So I worship our donor.
Thank you, Father. Our sounds are not hitting it too well. It's not what you are releasing, it's what is coming out of here. So there's something you are doing that I'll stop doing, because there's a situation here that we must sort within a few. I know you're trying, but there's a situation here. Lester Sumrall made a statement about Wigglesworth, that with Wigglesworth it was criminal to be on the same level every day. And such, when you relate with me, I have abandoned myself to movements by the day. It means that what could help me yesterday will not help me today. So there's a situation that maybe we should pray a little so that we can solve the move on. You're doing a good job, but it was good for yesterday. That's what I'm saying. The Bible says they go from strength to strength. In other words, there is a progressive capacity building that goes on, and that's what makes you relevant, because the enemy knows how to develop strains of resistance. I was sharing that in the Lorraine in the week, that someone in medicine, are you in medicine? Good. Now a doctor, a nurse, or someone around maybe microbiology understands that you cannot restrain a virus or bacteria perpetually by the same kind of drug. That's why we're often advised to use our full doses of whichever drug you're using. It is so that the virus or bacteria does not get used to what you're administering, and then they develop a strain that can go around it. You see, when you ask, you must understand that. Let me bring it down. In case you don't understand what ascension is in the spirit, physics, you understand that able to escape the force of gravity so that you begin to go into outer space, you need a definite or a particular velocity called the velocity of escape. And though it is constant, because the forces in our realm are constant, so it means that the rocket needs to just attain that velocity and then it's out. But in the spirit, it's an evolving world. And so what you use today that won, and maybe week tomorrow. It's based on that inspiration that somebody sang a song like, yesterday's gone, today I'm in need. And Jesus himself said, give us this day. Not these days. Because abundant unto the day is the evil thereof. It means the enemy evolves kinds of evil. And it's just like God daily loaded us with benefits, he evolves evils that are particular to days. So yesterday might not help today. Yesterday's level of intercession might be useless today. I mean useless. That's why we need to evolve. Yesterday's light may actually be error today. That's why the Bible says that his word is a lamp unto our feet, such that in case you have a long-term perspective, that's the light to your path, and you also receive the lamp to your feet. Understand that for every step there is an illumination that you require. If not, the future will not happen. I have never been physically weak like this week. Yes, I traveled to Asaba in weakness. My body was weak. I had to break the journey, sleep over in Oshobo. At a point, I was almost going to tell Apostle Gideon I was not going to go. But God had to remind me that it was in line with my calling. For some people, traveling is luxury. For me, it is the apostolic ministry is abandoned to spiritual, to physical journeys. We will not be like Paul if we stay on one spot. It's not a spiritual office for one who sits on the head of at the base of a church and stays there perpetually. He may not really be an apostle, even if he calls himself that. There must be a sound that he is releasing as God begins to validate or authenticate his status as an apostle that requires that he travels. So it's not it's not relevance. It's stewardship. Are you getting me? Because there are certain terms that crept into our dictionary as believers, such words as relevance. You were not called to be relevant. You were not called to shine and get glory. God is at the base of every shining. That's what scripture says. So the craving to be relevant is not kingdom. Because in kingdom there's only one face. We are faceless men. Only the Christ will be relevant. It takes preeminence. That's the design. I'm saying this because some of you might feel, okay, this guy travels. So I had to sleep over in Oshobo with my personal money. Because I don't make journeys with church money. I don't even spend church money. So there are times they invite me, I don't even have money. I say, Jesus, you provide for me. But I took off for Asaba on Saturday, on Friday morning, tired. I knew I was not sick because that's out of the bargain. But my body was tired. I'm sharing this because there are some of you who feel limited to do what God has called you to do because you are tired. You see, God tries people. If I took anything, I'm a cold water person. But if I took anything cold, it will look like I have malaria. So I stayed with hot. So when I arrived and then the AC was on in the room, I said, please, I'll preach this night. And God showed us mercy that first day. I couldn't teach too much, probably because I saw that where I was teaching quite on the high side, so was majorly an impartation healing night, all kinds of things. Jesus showed us great mercies. And then yesterday night I had entered my normal mood, because by the time I woke up on Saturday morning, Kaya was a strong man physically again. So I continued to do my work. And God showed us great mercies. I left at about 7 a.m. this morning. Came in a few minutes past 3. Across the nation, God is validating the labor that He has called us into. I've seen people who've never seen me before, but stand in awe of how God has used our utterances as a house, our sounds as a house, to shape their destiny. And I am humbled. I am humbled at what God is doing. I want to pray a prayer that I like to pray when I see these things. May you find early who you are. Because the only, you see, the discovery of purpose actually gives God a platform for expression. So it's really not about you. When you find it, you give God a platform to express Himself. It means that when purpose remains undiscovered, the believer deprives the kingdom of a portal of expression. That's why it's sad. So people will be in jeopardy in the afterlife if they don't find why they came. Because you will have deprived God of an opportunity for shining. When you advance purpose, God begins to use the platform your discovery has created for Him to help other people advance. Because my going to Asaba was, it was not my meeting, it was Apostle Gideon's meeting. So he said, Tolu, we have some things to do in Lagos, you go. So it was because he found God, and then he's finding, hey, look at you, this is Amani. How are you? You didn't tell me you were coming. Why now? The Lord bless you. You just came in now. When I went for sounds of alignment in Akure, this is the young man. This is the young man who's meeting. I've not shared that testimony with you. That was when I greeted Daddy in your meeting, and then he held my head. It was in that meeting Daddy said in Yoruba, Oluwa gbe ori e soke. And immediately I got up, the Lord said, I'm opening to you 2 new geopolitical zones of ministry. So I just came from Delta this morning. I was in that meeting in Accra. As margin ancient landmarks, right? With new oil. That was the meeting. That was God. Alright. Now let me begin tonight. I'll begin quite slowly. So that will not be confused. The Lord began a discussion with me yesterday night, which forms my introduction for tonight. He began to say to me that the gap in the spirit will not take time to fill. Actually, it began from my trying to look at what was, what is, and what should be. And I began to see that it looks as though if the generation of our fathers progressed into the future, they will be able to actualize what we call future as regards the help me, Holy Spirit. You're playing too low. Yes, you will go back low, but I need to. If our fathers run through our generation with their commitment, with their consecrations, with the capacity that they have, it looks as though the intent of God for what we call the future will be easier achieved than for our generation to come into that intent. It looks as though it's going to be more difficult for us to achieve what God has in store for us, because there are gaps in the spirit. There are consecrations that we have not come into, let alone practiced. There are engagements that we have not even mastered that are required for what God wants to do. There are revelations, or in other words, let me make a difference, there are mysteries, keys in the kingdom that our generation has neither handled nor known that they exist, which are prerequisite receptions for where God is taking us to. It was in that state that I was being driven from the hotel to the orientation camp in Delta yesterday night, and then God said to me, he said, the gap in the spirit will not take time to fill. And I said, Lord, what do you mean? He said, it will not take time because it is a spiritual gap, and you don't need, and time is not a component in that realm. Are you getting me? If a spirit needs to go from Ogbomosho to Lagos, it is in Lagos because it decided to be in Lagos. That's how spirits move. Such that when you see the visions of those seraphims in the book of Ezekiel, they moved wheels upon wheels. That's how they were woven. They had four faces, meaning that they could move in any direction without turning. So go there and then they move, go there and then they move. And the wheels were so interlocked such that it could roll in any direction. That's what it means. So if you are speaking to one of those princes, if you say, I need something done in Lagos, by the time you finish speaking it, the activity has happened in Lagos and he's still here with you. And then you may begin to ask questions like, you won't go to Lagos, send them back. And then the phone call comes and says, Jesus has done it too. The question is when? Because in their realm, time is not a component. Earth operates that way. So if you begin to judge spirituals with the time component, you'll be wrong, because it does not take time. Now, what it means, my brother, what's your name again? Michael. What it means is that it really will not, in God's timetable, take 10 years before you come into anything in God. The time component is because the man who is participating in what God is doing is in the earth. And because you are in the earth, time is one of our units of measurement here. They don't use it there. So God says the spirit gap will not take time to fill, because that gap is a spiritual gap. It's not a time-based gap. I know it's still confusing, but follow me. We'll get there. The time component, he said to me, is tied to our fulfilling the protocols of alignment. That's why there's a time component. So if God says, I will bless you, he comes to church tonight and says, I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you will become a blessing. It's like a blanket prophetic utterance. And then every one of us begins to, by moving out of this meeting, we begin to engage God. What you will discover is that the effects of the blessing, the greatness of our names, and our becoming a blessing will happen in time at varying times. It's not because God seeks to fulfill it at varying times, because immediately he said it happened. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled, however, not in the earth, but in heaven. Our varying degrees of alignment, which is fulfilling heaven's protocol, will make our times of fulfillment to differ. So there are utterances. Maybe you go to a church and you have friends, and they said, this is your year of, give me one name. This is your year of exceeding greatness. And that's something to shout about, because in case you have lived your life small, it means this year you'll be big. But God can fulfill exceeding greatness for someone in that church after 15 years. It means he will be living in the reality of the past 15 years. He will still be great, because the person who becomes great first does not really matter. That God fulfills it in your life is what you should be excited about. But the speed of fulfillment is not in the hands of God. It was for one of those reasons that God had to tell, Jesus had to give voice to it in Acts chapter 1 verse 7, that it is not for you to know the times and the seasons that God has set or put in his own authority. It means, you see, the rapidity of events is locked up in God. The participation of man is that a protocol will be generated. If you fulfill the protocol fast, you will come into a fulfillment. So Jesus now gave the protocol. The first step in that protocol is that the Holy Ghost must come upon you. And when it comes upon you, the resultant immediate effect is that you will receive power. I'm trying to arrange it in order of fulfillment. In order of writing, it says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Means the first thing is that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. I wish I had the sermon in for my midnight sermon in Ilorin on Tuesday. The Lord was bringing up into the concept of the Holy Ghost coming upon beyond just alighting. It is a governmental descent. The Holy Ghost comes upon, his throne is set upon. That's how power is birthed. Not that you just wake up and say, no, I feel chills over me. No. Governmental existence is the door that brings men into power. Because what you operate actually is authority. And authority does not happen outside a relationship, a cordial one. So that if a police misbehaves, what do? They sack him. And then you can slap him now to no consequence. Follow me. So, when God begins to initiate protocols, it's not a time to rejoice, but a time to begin to engage. Because it means that God wants to bring about separation. Because people will come into it differently. Until the protocols are initiated, all of us have the same faith. For example, this year in it's a year of dominion. How many of you have heard Bishop Oyedepo's testimonies this year? Any of his 2019 testimonies? They are mind-blowing. The way he disciples things, not just systems, things in the spirit. Do you know that when God told him the year of dominion, God told him to tell everybody what it meant, that in God, his results are supposed to be replicated by everybody. But currently his result, some people's new year of dominion looks like last year. I hope you know that. For some people, nothing has changed. Am I lying? You see, I'm a very pragmatic believer. For some people, what was last year in winners? Some people are still in midnight. They did not enter new dawn last year. So dominion is not even something to discuss, because it's a progression in God. Some people are still 20 years away from now, because they think that the calendar year has the ability to morph people into a new reality. You are wrong. They don't count years like that in that realm. You must fulfill your cycles before you come into new. That's the way it happens in that realm. So a blanket announcement is not a good reason to shout, because you may actually be disappointing heaven again. It does not take time. It takes alignment. Follow me. I'm going to enter into the subject now. The reason is because what God checks with human lives that brings us into new seasons is that we have used up the energies, the realities of the old season. In other words, what God checks to bring men into new is that they have effectively optimized the old. And our effectiveness is not calibrated by activity in God. It's calibrated by our alignment in God. One of the things that God will do to make you labor accurately in the kingdom is that he redefines kingdom concepts to you. There are too many wrong definitions, Oba. I was sharing somewhere that it is possible to serve a church, a local assembly, and not be a servant of God. Somebody said, I said, wait. If you have not known the difference and you have not morphed into being a servant of God, you are still serving the church, you will see your name on the church register where they may come and say, at the end of this year, this was the best worker. But that worker may not be named in heaven. How many of you read my status this morning? I was doing a discussion. You know, where is BJ? You are the one that inspired that thing. Because BJ was the book of Lamentations. And he was lamenting how, today is his birthday, right? And he was lamenting how he felt focus on God in the face of criticism was a water easy for anybody to wade through. But with growth, he has discovered that any one of us can be derailed. And so I began to write, you inspired, you just opened the door, and I began to write that one of the ways to beat criticism is that you don't even live by either criticism or praises of men. Shut both of them down, knowing that the realm that scores your stewardship is not earth. There's an old story about a man walking a tightrope. You know what a tightrope is? It's a rope in space connected from one edge of a building to another. And there was this man who walked so well. There were other men who fell. So a young man walked up to this man who had gained mastery of walking the tightrope and said to himself, how do you walk so well? He said, my ears are closed to both criticisms and praises. Because all of them, for the tightrope walker, is noise. Walk well, champion, is noise. If you take your eyes off the mark, you will fall. Stupid man, he will soon fall down now, he will still fall. We were not designed to live by any one of them. As such, one way to beat that noise is to have a system every day when you submit yourself for approval. When I lie on my bed, that's what closes the day. So you can say, you misbehaved. It may have been praises from people, but he calls it misbehavior. So you will seek a redress. The Bible says we should judge ourselves so that we will not be judged. If you are smart, the protocol for judging yourself is actually to submit yourself for judgment. Not that you use your own parameters to say, I'm good, I'm effective. That's not how to go. You submit yourself for approval. You wait till the judge of the earth says, I approve of your life. Because a man does not need to do or not do to gain approval. What God judges primarily is your existence. Jesus had done 10 miracles when God said, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased, right? Had he done anything? You know, was still at the baptismal pool. He had only lived 30 years. 30 accurate years of existence. And God approved him as his beloved son with whom he is well pleased. It was by life, not by ministry. So it's not activity. One blind eyes, it's not a problem yet. Let him first approve on your life. Because we see in that portion of scripture that one of the ways God approves is to put something on the person. So what you carry is intensified by approval. If it's the same thing, something is wrong. That's how we become more effective in the kingdom. I was going to share something and he said I should not. So I will not. Let's go on. So in the day that a man comes to a point, knowing that it's not about time, because I can be 50 years in church and still be a liability to the kingdom, that I'm still at the mercy of my pastor's prayer, and God cannot handle anything to me even though I'm 50 years. When a man begins to understand that living an aligned life and while you're working that, I need people there to be sensitive. So one of you should be watching that time, please. When you begin to discover that God is screaming effectiveness, and the key to effectiveness is alignment, you will not wait before God comes to say, adjust, Oba. What you will do is assume a posture, and that posture will be a posture of inquiry, such that in case God does not say anything, you will ask him. So that as a worship leader, after you have led, after you have prayed, you are not going up on stage, you ask God, am I in line? You afford him an opportunity to speak to you. The reason is simple. God answers more than he speaks. It means his communications are more of responses than initiated discussions. So you ask him. It was the same posture that the disciples, this is where I'm going, the same posture that the disciples took when they ran a standardization, experiment. They looked at the potency of the prayer of their Lord, and they looked at how weak their own prayers were. So they needed to initiate a discussion that helped all of us to bring us into the spiritual education around prayer. If they had never asked, Jesus would not have initiated it. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. There is a problem with our model of prayer. And in case you have read scriptures, I began to study Acts of the Apostles again yesterday, and I was indoors all the time till yesterday evening. So I was in Acts 1 and 2, and it gave me the privilege to benchmark prayers in the Acts of the Apostles with our own. Man, we are not praying. The results we seek are not captured in the realities of what we are doing. Let me give you a physical example. This young man comes back and wants to eat rice, and then he puts yam on fire and waits for 30 minutes expecting that rice will come out of the pot. The problem is not the heat. The problem is not the pot. The problem is that what you put inside it is not designed to generate rice. It stays as yam. It can still fill your stomach, but it will not bring satisfaction, because that is not what you set out to get. I know people fast, but you need to backtrack, like I said last week, to scriptures. More than ever before, we must recover the manual of our existence. We have cloned and carved out too many protocols that seemingly do something in the spirit. They get results, but they don't give us our expected results. A posture of inquiry, because certain disclosures will not be made by the spirit until the right requests are made. Is he working now? When I began to look at what prayer was called in scriptures, first by Jesus and then the disciples, I saw something that Jesus trailblazed, and the disciples also, operating like their master, came into. Follow me. I'm just doing an introduction. It was that Jesus, he exhibited mastery in prayer timings. His interventions were accurately in sync with what God was doing. For example, the day that Lazarus died, you know, you will have initiated a prayer a few days before and then you'll have come back disappointed. But his prayers were sponsored by a connection with heaven. He knew what heaven was not just going to do, but what heaven was doing. He was not operating a prophetic dimension. He was in sync with heaven. The Son doeth nothing save what he seeth the Father do. It means it's not just based on mental knowledge or a perspective that God does this kind of thing. He had facilities to view what heaven was doing. No activity in the earth is anchored on the ability to see what God is currently doing. And you can operate like that. If you are born again, what your basic reality, and we need to go back to it, that your basic reality of being born again is not that you have joined a church. The basic advertisement of your status as being born again is that you can see the kingdom of God. That word "see" is a word that can be blown out. It actually means perceive. It means the proof that you are born again is that your senses of perception have been animated. You can hear what is currently going on in heaven right now. You can see what is currently going on in heaven right now. It was by that facility, not the prophetic, and I said that's the song he wants to hear. So that there can be 10 sick people, and you know the one that God wants to touch. On Friday night, the Spirit said to me, he said, there are 3 people in this meeting with respiratory problems, and I'm going to solve it now. So I said, so no, we're worshiping. I said, stop. There are 3 people here with respiratory problems. I see 2 ladies and 1 man. Because, you know, he told me, and then his invitation by those words brought me into visionary encounters. So I said, there are 3 of them. And then 4 people started coming, and I said, well, your own is not, you are not part of them. What's the case? Say I have catarrh. No, catarrh is not a respiratory challenge, it's a transient one. So you stand here, it's not you. I said, among these 3, now he's telling me that one of them is asthma. Only one is asthma. I think there's something you call sinusitis or something. What does it mean? You see, inflammation of the sinuses. I didn't do physiology, so I don't even know what sinuses are. Okay. So, 2 of them had that kind of thing. And then, so I started from you. He said, sinusitis. You, sinusitis. Kai, Jesus, help my life. Say, you, God. She said, asthma. I said, so good. Somebody will be all that. Kai, this guy is prophetic. It's not. I keep saying that we have not seen the strength of the prophetic. All these things that we are trading is intensified born again status. Yes, it's intensified, and it means that you can be stronger than what somebody calls the prophetic now. You can be accurate. That's your proof of being born again. If you cannot see into the kingdom, even if your tongues is heavy, You are living a life that is not in line with the manual. If God speaks to you in dreams, you should understand it, because you can see what the kingdom is doing. So that if 10 people come and are sick, you will not lay hands on them because you have the healing anointing. You will lay hands because God has selected the ones that he wants to heal. And even if he was born without holes in the eye, if heaven wants to put holes and you've seen him put holes, you will put your hand and say, let the eye appear. It will appear because you are just giving an earthly expression to a kingdom movement. I began a study looking at our fathers in scriptures and outside scriptures, trying to understand what the gap really is about. Is it that they engage the spirit in prayers and fasting more than us? A couple of them, but there are some of them who didn't even engage, who have not in their lifetime. They are 70 year olds who are very robust in the spirit, who have not prayed as much as you have prayed, even as a 25 year old. How many of you believe that? Okay, maybe you did. To the right people. They've not read as much scriptures. My biological father still, you know, he demanded for it to a point that I almost felt offended. I said, he said, send me, just put it on a, what do you call it? No, not a flash now. A memory card. I'll put it in the car MP3 player. Apostle Gideon Oduma's messages, Apostle Aromer's messages. I took some of Apostle Selman's messages too, the ones you gave me. I said, I'll send it. He said, send it. I said, what do you want to know? Send it. So when I delayed, where's Stephen? You know, I said I needed a memory card. When I delayed in buying it, he bought the memory card himself and sent it. Say, put it on it. But I've still seen a potent man. It means it's not revelatory knowledge. That's the gap. Many of them have not read the books you have read, but they are stronger. They are men of might. They have not prayed. Now there are all kinds of prayer. There's petition, there's supplication, there's intercession. Which other one? There's thanksgiving, there's charging. Now you must charge your life. And it's a good one, because too many people's batteries are low. Heaven has been hanging, you know how Nokia used to sound. Yes, many people's phones are low. So now you come into that kind of prayer with no intention. And that's what charging means. No intention. Says data transfer, you say no, just charging. So yes, you connect and then spirit life begins to increase in you. That's the only thing that you come to do. Some of them have not charged before, but their batteries are still 40 years strong. I know the disciples fasted, but I hope you know that for the first 3.5 years of Jesus, these guys were not fasting at all, so that there were things they could handle because they had not started fasting. And there was a kind that they could not handle, and then it was abnormal that they were not fasting to a point that the Pharisees said, come on, even John's disciples fast. These guys are gluttons. It meant that they were not just staying away from food. You know, they were not fasting. They were not just eating normally. They ate at an abnormal rate. And Jesus said, they don't need to fast now. I'm still here. When I leave, we will not tell them to fast. How many days did they wait when Jesus ascended before Pentecost? 10 days. Because he first, when he went and came back, it was 40 days he used to do lectures, and then went, and in 10 days you have fasted. Some of you have fasted for 60-70 days. So are we saying it was the length of fasting that brought the Holy Ghost? I'm trying to bring you to a point to understand that the key to advancement in this kingdom is inquiry. If you don't ask, you will not know. Because the difference between us and our fathers is that they possess an educational system that we don't have. They were schooled by the spirit, such that what you are trying to achieve by brute force, they know the pathways to come into them. You know how we emphasize, you pray, and after 3 months, people say, God is not saying anything concerning my purpose. The only thing I can prescribe now, like a spiritual doctor, is keep praying. Say for 2 years, he has not said anything. Say, just keep praying. That's all that we know. But some of them were just enjoying Jesus. And one day, Jesus said, I want to tell you something. Say, what, sir? I said, let me tell you what the future looks like. Really? And that's how they came into the councils. Go back to scriptures. Was Jeremiah fasting? When Elisha was called into ministry, was it out of a fast? As a matter of fact, the guy, okay, Testament, right? When Peter was called into ministry, he was fasting. This was a guy who was fishing, and even when he thought the call had failed, he went back to fishing. So it means fishing never really died in him. So Peter, how did you become an icon in the kingdom? Now to get revelation, you must labor. But Jesus said, who do men say that I am? We need to understand, we need to have the education, access to the educational system that Peter had, that could make him escape the group and go to heaven and hear something. Because angels didn't bring it to him. Jesus said, by my Father, who is not in the earth, but who is in heaven. So one of two things happened. Peter went to heaven, or God decided to come to the earth. We lack education, spiritual education, when it comes to the engagement of the structures for spirit fellowship. We don't know how to sing well. That's why our songs are weak. Oh, how many of you have listened to Don Mwen before? You are not too young to have known Don Mwen, right? I sent my word and I healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. Do you understand that song? Do you know the millions that song has healed? It's in understanding, it's in English, but it's a potent capsule of the healing reality. You know the songs you sing, the ones that your mind cannot understand, even if it keeps hearing it for 10 years. I'm not saying they are wrong, but you think that the only thing that can launch into a spiritual atmosphere is and it's good, but it does not furnish understanding, and it is still impotent. We will have said your understanding will corrupt it. Now you cannot understand. But they sang songs in English, and the songs brought reality. We have been chanting incomprehensible sounds, and the sounds are still weak. So when we want to call spiritual songs, we say that the songs that cannot be understood by human languages are the spiritual songs. We are jokers. It's by content we test which song is a spiritual song, because every song is weak. What it carries inside, an empty capsule case, is weak. It can't cure anything. What you pour inside it is what makes the container useful. They had access to some kind of education such that their simplicity still brought power. We don't know much. And just like they asked the Lord, teach us to pray. Somebody needs to go back home and say, Lord, teach me to fast. You have been on hunger strike because your fasting is not striking any chord in the realm of the spirit. And that's why you are still there. You have been worshiping in vain. We like your sound, but it's not doing anything, and we are tired. That's what the world is saying to some people. We have heard you pray. We have heard you share revelation, but car is not moving anything. We need to be educated, and the doors into those educational systems in God only open to men of inquiry. Lord, teach me. Not teach me how to sing. Teach me to sing. Lord, don't teach me how to fast. Teach me to fast. Because in that educational system comes an impartation. For God is at work in you, both to will and then to do. Lord, don't teach me how to read my Bible. I know there are many manuals now. Go online. How to study scriptures. If you try to attempt studying the Bible by a manual, you will still be bankrupt, because it's not a secular book. The letters in scriptures are spirit. I was sharing in Asaba yesterday. I said something, and I said, you've been told in church that God hears every language, right? That God hears many languages. We serve a multilingual God. It's junk. Because you need to establish it in scriptures that God hears every language. Anybody, try, show me. Because Jesus gave us an eye opener into how God communicates. That's how he hears. That's how he speaks. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit and life. That's the coding of how God speaks and how God hears. So you can speak in Yoruba, your prayers doesn't count if it is outside his will, because his will is the compiler. So you can speak English until he goes to the will changes it into spirit, and then God hears it. So it's not Yoruba. God has a technology to change your language into what he's saying. I was sharing with them that I was listening to a African song. I was walking in the and I worshipped so much to a point that I began to sing it in what entered my heart in English. I began to sing. So my adopted cousin said to me, is that the meaning of the song? I said, leave me, let me be worshipping with it. So the second day, and I love that yesterday song. So I think it was Keke Fofulo, one of these very strong South African praise worshippers. So we went online to download the song. When we saw the lyrics, both of us were stoned, because what I was singing was the direct English translation of that song. You know why it's possible? It was Zulu language we were hearing, but I was receiving it as spirit. So when my understanding needed to be furnished, spirit can become any language anywhere. So a pastor says, God will bless you. And what do people say? Amen. And a crusade, somebody says, Oluwabukun. Whichever way you hear it, it works. The potency of the name of Jesus is not in his pronunciation. It's in his spirit nature. So when the Hausa man comes and says, Yesu, when you say, Yeshua, when you say Jesus, when you say Jesus, whatever you say, does Igbo have a version of that name? Because Igbo has too much of English inside it. They can still say Jesus, but you know how they pronounce it. Abby, and let's not go there tonight, because I have friends from there. You know how they pronounce it. It still works. Why? Spirit. It is what our fathers know. So that you have a problem and you are running tongues at the demo, and then grandma comes and says, Jesu, Jesu, no tongues. And he goes, she has been educated. You must come down from our high palaces and begin to ask the Lord again, teach us to. You want to marry? Talk about, teach me to marry. There's an educational system that can make you marry a crazy person and you will still turn out as kingdom champions. There's actually an educational system that can make you get married to somebody out of obedience and not love. We are bringing Babylon into the kingdom. Are you getting me? I know there are teachings around compatibility and all those things. It's because what we think that marriage is happiness. And that's what people teach now, even in church. As long as you're happy with the person, when you get to the afterlife, you will know that happiness is not a quantity there. I'm not saying it's wrong to be happy. If you get your own, it might need working, but you will come to happiness. It may not be an initial reality, but it will be an ultimate one. I know you like medicine. Like our doctor here, you know, Dr. Tolu has finished. Maybe God has gifted us another one. And you feel, you know, the way he said the sinuses, and pastor was stupefied. He didn't understand what sinuses mean. Say, let me learn something that he cannot understand. This guy used to behave as though he knows everything. Now we have known that he doesn't know medicine too well. Let me study anatomy. Let me. Our fathers cried and said, what would you have me do? That's how Paul became an icon. What will you have me do, Lord? Questions. So let's go deeper and then into scripture. Let's pick out one of such questions that will open up to us the educational system of heaven. I think I've shared it in this place before, that the anointing has an educational system in itself. The healing anointing, the prophetic anointing, all of them are optimized by schooling. And what schools you? Your lecturer is the anointing itself. Know ye not that the unction that you have received from the Holy One teacheth you, abideth in you, and the Bible says it teacheth you all things. His curriculum is so robust that as regards the anointing, that particular anointing, you don't need any other person to teach you anything about it again. Luke chapter 11. Now I'm back to where we stopped last week. I just wanted I needed an introduction to come into it. Luke chapter 11. Somebody should help me open, and you read from verse 1 to 4. Now while you get that going, whoever is reading can stand. While you get that going, one of the ways, you know, in our work, sorry I'm sounding this simple, in our pursuit of the Christ, there are motivators. That's the design. There are things that God has put in place so that we are motivated into certain things. Just like in Hebrews chapter 12, seeing then that we are surrounded with a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside and the sin which easily beset, let us run with patience. Another translation says, with endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. It means every time they slapped him, and Jesus will have said, you will not use that hand again, and it will have happened. He looked at the joy, said, this guy is helping me to get closer to the cross, let me leave him. He could have called Judas and said, Judas, you know you are going to betray me. Leave now. He left him there. He endured him. Because Judas was the only way to a betrayer. I'll start my classes back tomorrow evening. My Monday evening classes. So if you're around, you can come. And we're going to jump to the book of Acts of Apostles. I want us to read it together. You will pity Judas. We will see Judas in the prophecy in Psalms, and you will see the magnitude of what happened to him because of that betrayal. That a man can start well. But God needs to show you mercy, that you are not part of the church as a marked man. He came into an office, son of perdition, and he changed everything. Let's go on. What I'm saying is, there are motivators, and one of the motivators to come in that pushes you into the prayer of inquiry is that you have an evaluation system. Don't be far from the standard. If you work in a factory or you work in a lab, there are standardization processes. That That's what Standards Organization of Nigeria is supposed to be doing. That's what NAFDAC is supposed to be doing. They have calibrations, perfect calibrations for everything produced. So when you produce your own, you send it to them, they run laboratory tests to compare it to the standard. So when you drink pure water, you see NAFDAC number on it. What he's saying is, we have tested it, but you know the truth. That the calibrator in our nation is actually Naira. I've worked in a pure water factory during my first IT, where we only had borehole, overhead tank, and tap. And bottled water was coming out of that place with NAFDAC number. In Lagos, I mean, only borehole. There was nothing even covering the tap. To make matters worse, while we complained, particles were coming out of the tap, particles in the bottles. They now tied foam, which is a toxic material for ingestion. They now tied very light foam on the mouth of the tap. So water comes through foam, and then they force the cork on it, and then they go to sell it as bottled water. So you think that pure water in the sachet is dangerous? When you drink some bottled water, you will put your mouth in the bowl straight. It's safer. That's what money has done. You must standardize it. Are you fasting? Go and check scriptures. Because your fasting may be ineffective because you have breached one of the laws of fasting. Are you giving? You need to go and check that you must fulfill the law of giving. Maybe I should say it openly. Since we have started taking offering in services, Oba's delivery is the best that I have seen. So I want everybody to stay with that delivery. Can we celebrate it? That's the best template. I'm excited. Wherever you got it from, go back there so that you will get other templates. Don't let your head swell. I'm just saying that God told me, he told me on my seat to do what I'm doing, to approve of your delivery for the offering and how you rounded up that session. I think everybody should learn from it. So stay with that. And God bless you. You'll be greater than me. It's done. He will. God is always better in the next generation. You just labor into it. You not labor for it. I think I shared that in the Lord. You don't labor for an inheritance. You labor into it. It's already your own. But your labor is to grow so that you can be a custodian of it. It's already in your name. As long as the problem of the hair is that as long as he's a child, he differed not from his stem. He's still called the heir. It means he already has his name on the inheritance. A car, some plots of land is his own. But he will live his life as though it's not his own, because he has not matured. So he's laboring into it and not laboring for it. He will not receive it as wages. That's laboring for. He's just growing so that he can express it. Okay. When you evaluate yourself, every spiritual activity must be benchmarked against what is captured in scriptures. If you begin to do that, you begin to see why you are not getting results. That it's not that God is not hearing, or that the witches are powerful. It's because you have not been found accurate. And then you can begin, by the help of the Spirit, to regain alignment. To regain alignment. It begins to teach you how to recover space, and then you can advance in God. That's how it happens. But once that evaluation system is absent, we know only one thing will happen to you. You will get into a state of self-attainment where you feel that you know all that you need to know. It won't be the other end of the pendulum. You will not feel inadequate without evaluation. You will feel proud. You will be overrated without evaluation. That's the way it's designed. Don't close any day without evaluation. Jesus, how did I do today? What do I need to improve upon in prayer? I went for evangelism. 10 souls were saved. Did you plant 10 souls or 20? What did I do that sent away the other 10? That's how to win. Luke chapter 11.
Verse 24.
Yes.
When
verse
they,
1 to 4. Yes.
And it came to pass.
Yes.
That as he went praying in a certain place.
As
he went praying.
Now who's the he here? In this Bible study we are doing now. Who is the he here? Jesus. As he went praying in a certain place. Now I'm going to begin our education from that point. There are times, sorry, let me put it this way. If you want to live the life of Christ, you must have a routine in prayer. And that routine, from this writing, begins with seclusion. Or in simpler words, separation. It means you must have prayer times that it is just you. He went praying and it was in a certain place. God still chooses prayer places for people. And one of the reasons why it happens like that is because Earth's geography has been designed by the experience, follow me, of sustained spiritual activity to morph into an immortal region. Most of those mountains you went to pray in, it was because a man sustained prayer there, and then the gap between heaven and earth was bridged such that any man walks into the place and prayers are answered. Prayer mountains are more potent than your room, but you can create portals in your room. When God names a certain place, is there anybody here that God has assigned to a certain place of prayer? Raise your hand. Have you been going there? Have you been going there? Okay. Have you been going there? Good. In case you feel, Lord, is it going to help? It's because you need to grow discipline with spiritual things. For some people, it uses certain places. For some people, it uses certain times. And I keep emphasizing, don't miss those timings. They are like gates, they open. Many of the questions you ask will have been answered in that time. The reason why you are in a state of confusion is that you missed it. Even Jesus, he went and prayed in a certain place. Go ahead, my dear.
When he ceased.
It means he didn't pray throughout. When he ceased.
One of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.
Now we must try and give a perspective to the posture that his disciples took when he was praying. What kind of posture did you think they took? Observation. They were watching. It's like when Chief Don is praying, you're observing. Is this tongues or? Or when Dr. Paul Enecha is praying, you say, is this sound tongues? Even his wife had to ask him, Daddy, this thing you are saying, is it tongues? They are watching. So they watched him pray. Unfortunately, we don't know what they saw. And that's a problem we have. But scripture didn't leave us in darkness of the possibilities that were available when Jesus prayed, because we saw him again on the Mount of Transfiguration. That there were not just spiritual feedbacks, he prayed to touch physical things. We don't know what happened this day, but there was something that got them awed. Is this a man praying? Or God, teach us. We have found out that what we lack is the education of prayer. I know what they said is you learn how to pray by praying. You have been praying all your life. You need to be taught to pray. Yes, there are things you master as you go. But don't get me wrong. There are things you master as you go. Like if you're a sound minister now, there are frequencies in the spirit that you master. You know when they are switched on. You know when they are shut down. But if you really want to optimize that tool, or that structure of spirit engagement, you must be taught. I've shared with us that prayer actually flies on two energies. an educational system and then an animation system, so that we will not depart from you. Quicken us and we'll call upon your name. It means essentially prayer only happens as a result of quickening. It's a spiritual thing. I said it to them in Asaba yesterday night. I said some of you are struggling to pray and you are trying is not captured in the code that performs prayer. You must be helped, and the help of the spirit is that it quickens you. There is a requisite dosage of spiritual injection that comes into a man that makes him pray. He can come out of his sleep if that dose is available. He begins to pray while you are still booting. Lord, we thank you. You need to, maybe we'll look for one of Chief Don's videos that is just standing like this. That's Reverend Donatus. He's standing like this, and they say we will give Reverend Donatus the opportunity to pray. The way he grabs the microphone is like he's holding, he's collecting a baiting, and there is no, Father, we thank you. He grabs it and becomes high instantly. It's a quickening effect. You will not appreciate it until we do prayer chain, so that someone has mounted up with wings as eagles, and the new guy comes and says, Father, we thank you now. You feel like carrying your chair. You are wicked. You are wicked. Because many times we start again. Yes. He brought us back to the earth. You didn't see that there were sheets of paper on the ground before. He said, Father. And then, so he said, there's death here. You pick it. He brought you back here. You didn't see your friend before. It's not designed to be mechanical. Prayer is 100% spiritual. The disciples saw. Maybe the fashion of his countenance also changed. Maybe his clothes became glistening white. We don't know what happened. Maybe there was a supply that he had come into and they felt. We also pray. We don't have this thing. Lord, teach us to pray as
John also taught his disciples.
Now, what was Jesus' response?
And he said unto them.
He said unto them.
When ye pray.
When ye pray, it means prayer is not if. Prayer is when. It must happen. If not, you are not man. That's what Luke 18:1 says. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. It means you are only a man if when we check, prayer is ongoing. Ongoing, not periodical, ongoing. So that even if your mouth is not moving, your heart is releasing incense. That's what makes you a man. Every time it ceases, you step out of your status as a man. You begin to operate from here. And I hope that you understand that the status of man is actually supernatural. Man is a supernatural being. Now you are looking at me somehow. In the day of your making, the charter that made you said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. It means your fabric is supernatural. That's one. And let him have dominion. What's the next word? Dominion over. And then God began to name those things that were measured into the natural dimension. The birds and the natural territory. The things that move in the sea and the natural territory. The things that crawl and the natural territory, the ground. You were designed to be over. Over natural. So you were designed to be supernatural in operation and supernatural in making. That's man. So every time prayer ceases, you step out of that nature and you become a natural man. They should even actually just say you become natural. Not, they should not add man. Because man is supernatural. So what did Jesus teach them?
When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven.
Now, hold on. What Jesus did was to respond. It is a sign that if you ask him, he will answer. If there is anything you need to know about spirit life, if you ask him, he will answer you, because he answered them. As Jesus functioned for them, the Holy Ghost is designed to function from you. So I tell many of you, go and ask him. He speaks, he responds. Now Jesus began a little part of that discussion and said to them, when you pray, say, it means he was giving them the audible part of prayer. Are you getting me? The reason why I'm emphasizing this is because for many decades we have limited Jesus's response to teach us to pray, to say. Read on.
Hallowed be thy name.
Our Father, right?
Yes, sir.
Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth.
Okay.
Give us day by day our daily bread.
What translation is that?
King James.
You said? Okay, read on. It doesn't sound like what we recite. Go ahead.
And forgive us our sins.
Okay.
For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us.
That's the Luke version of it. Okay, go ahead.
And lead us not into temptation.
Yes.
But deliver us from evil.
Good. That's, read on.
And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend?
Now, who responded when Jesus finished the Lord's Prayer? Did anybody say anything? What does that mean to you? And he said to them, what does that mean? It means he's still responding. The answer is still continuing. He has told them what to say. So if you want to judge the audible part of prayer or the vocal part of prayer, it must be sitting well in the components mentioned in the Lord's Prayer. I don't want to discuss the Lord's Prayer today, but there must be a part of it that acknowledges the fatherhood of God and his residential, or the residence from which he administrates his fatherhood. His name is character and authority, must be submitted to. We hallow your name. We must have as part of our prayers, the vocal part of it, the acknowledgement of the kingdom and the invitation of the kingdom, which is the rule of God over our realm. We must acknowledge that the reason why we have come to pray foundationally is not to see our will done, but his will be done in the earth realm. We pray as regents of heaven, beckoning on our headquarters to release its realities in our realm. What it means is that if you lack money, the only reason why you are supposed to go into petition and say, God, provide for me, is because you have checked the will of your kingdom, your government, the one that you submit to, and you have discovered that it is captured in the realities of that government to give you money. So you say, thy will be done. It means, based on the Lord's Prayer, you are not supposed to ask for anything that is outside the will. So a man who does not know the will, the written word, will not be able to pray well. So he says, give us this day our daily bread. It is with the understanding that God, there are certain givings in God that must be assessed daily. Someone sent me a message yesterday night on WhatsApp. He said, I've seen you teach on this thing, I've seen you operate it. Sir, how did you master this part of you? I said, I've not mastered it. I come to ask for grace every day. It's a problem I've not solved. I solve it every day. So any day I don't come to ask for grace for it, the supernatural ability to live above it, my life will be a theater of demonstration that is still there. So it's still there, but it's like a thorn in my flesh that I have to go to him every day and say, but you know that I cannot be a friend of Satan, help me today. Give us this day our daily bread, our nourishment, that which gives us strength every day. There are certain things that he will give you eternally, like salvation. But there are certain capacities that must be accessed by the day. And then forgive us our sins. Another one uses trespasses. And trespass is safe, because there is a a confusion that can come if you don't differentiate between both of them. As to make, because a few years ago I overheard some people saying that God will not forgive your sin if you don't forgive people around you, and it's junk, because forgiving your friend is not the criteria for the forgiveness of your sin. No, the finished work on the cross is what covers that remission. But there are rules, there are divine laws that you break every day. That's trespasses. It has to do with infringing on the legal system of God. That's what trespass is. Just like if you've gone to a well-developed area, you see no true fear here or thorough fear here, it means don't walk on this lawn, don't pass through here. Trespassers will be liable. It means if you break this rule, see, dogs can come after you, we can chop off your leg because you broke our rule. That's what it means. Just as we break divine laws in our human relationships, people also sin against us. So God is trying to create a system that the design is that if you receive from me, you should be a steward of what you receive. If I look away and then I lay hold, or I use your platform of saying, I hope you know that your day-to-day sin is only covered by the cross secondarily. That's confusing. The protocol is not that Jesus has died now, so my day-to-day sin is forgiven. You have to engage the protocol of confession. If you don't confess your day-to-day sin, the cross is still potent, but the sin will still stick to you. That's what my Bible says. Okay. Is it been long since you read your Bible? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to... That's how he forgives. He forgives, and he doesn't just forgive you. He cleanses you from the seed that births the sin. He does that by cleansing you. It's the word purge from unrighteousness, because the sin is birthed by from the root called unrighteousness. So that's the protocol that makes your sins forgiven. If you don't initiate it, the blood is still as fresh as 2,000 years ago, but God will still hold it against you because there's a protocol. So God is saying, just like you confess and I forgive and I go into the books, not just in your heart, I take out the writings that you ever did anything wrong. How does it help you in human relationships? You must do the same. If somebody says, I broke the flask, this boy, I forgive you. When you forgive them, the way you help to purge them of unrighteousness is that in day-to-day relationships, unrighteousness sits in. That's where it sits. It makes them feel they are not forgiven. So tell him, don't worry. You drink ice cream. That's how to do it. I won't buy ice cream for you. I'm just saying. You say, okay, I don't. Shabiz. So I begin to talk to make it light. Is it not just cup? It's cup now. It's cup. Okay, let's go and eat. See, I say, I'm not going. You will go. Now, if you don't eat, that's what my mom would do. If you don't eat, you don't want me to forgive you. Say, I want you to forgive me. Say, you eat, I'll eat. And then life goes on. So God wants you to be an expression of what you have received from him. And forgive us our trespasses. So you don't go into that prayer and say, Lord, forgive me because I've forgiven everybody. It's a protocol you must observe. Do we have lead us not in temptation in this one? I think it's here too. So lead us not into temptation. It is praying from a posture that tells you that you are still, what's the word now? You are still vulnerable. He's praying from a weak position. Say, Lord, thank you for yesterday. I won, but today, don't let me be tempted. You know my frame. And in case I fall into one, let me be shielded from evil. That's how it ends here. The other one says, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. That's Matthew chapter 6. That's what you should say. Vocal part of prayer. Go ahead.
And he said unto them,
yes,
which of you shall have a friend?
Go ahead.
And shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth.
Go ahead.
And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Hold it there. So Jesus goes from the vocal part of prayer, he goes to a posture in prayer. That's that little story that he told there. He's making us see how we must condition ourselves when we come to pray. Telling you about that there are things that you ask from God and you don't have answers, you don't have feedbacks. The reason why you don't have feedbacks is that there are certain surrounding conditions that negate the answer. So you have a friend, but understand that the first thing before he teaches, the reason why I'm saying he teaches a posture is that he names where you must have been. Remember that the beginning of the prayer started with the vocal part of prayer. Let me put it simply. The vocal part of prayer is prosecuted by relationship. What's a relationship? Fatherhood. The posture in prayer is prosecuted by another relationship. What's it called? Friend. So there are certain things you go to God for as a father, and this is the protocol. Say to him, when you come as a friend, it's not about what you say, it's how you come. God, give me this thing. This is out, this is out, this is out. But Lord, give me this thing. If you stay, the answer will come because of your importunity. That's, it's not me that said that, it's Jesus. A common word for importunity is persistence. Even God will bulge. That's what it means. Lord, my family. Please sit down. Lord, my family. And it looks as if God is not hearing. Apart from the fact that you are being aligned, apart from the fact that you do every other thing, importunity moves God. It's Jesus that says so. Is all that what you read? When you come as a friend, in quotes, God's insistence to hold back can be worn out by your continuous coming. And in case anyone wants to take sides with God in this law court and says that, no, how can you portray God like that? You can tear that sheet out of your Bible and eat it. It's Jesus that said that. And to give you a foundation for that declaration, he says, no one has seen the Father except the Son of Man. As a matter of fact, me and my Father are one. What it means is I know what is in the heart of the Father, and when I express it, the testimony I bring is true. That God can be worn out by insistence. You stop praying too soon. You know, I was doing something in the lorry. I said to them, you are too young. I said it in passing here, but I blew it out. I said, you are too young to doubt God. I said, how long have you held on for a promise? I can give you lines in scripture. So we took Abraham. 25 years. Some of you are not 25 years old, and you are saying, God, you didn't keep your promise. A man held a promise for 25 years. It means the number of years of his waiting is still older than you. So you are too young to doubt God. In case you are over 25, it's not a problem. God made a promise to Israel, and that promise was hanging for 40 years. He still fulfilled it. So you are still too young. Okay, you are more than 40. I can bring Daniel. He held a promise for 70 years, and God still fulfilled it. So you can give up on God if you are 70. But it's wrong. Because when a man had issues with disbelieving God, God gave a parable. He said, your descendants shall be slaves in a land. For how many years? Yes. And did God keep the promise? Did he bring them back? And so you need to be 400 years to doubt God. God is only late after 400 years, but he's still alive. Because in Genesis chapter 3, a promise came out. It was because of this thing you have done. I will put enmity between your seed and the seed of the serpent. And how they will sort their enmity is that the seed of this serpent will bruise his heel, but he will crush his head. It was over 4,000 years of waiting. And on the cross, God fulfilled that promise and is still fulfilling it today. So are you 4,000 years old? You can't doubt it. You are too young. Too young to say, Lord, I'm asking. Ask. When you are tired, still ask. You know how you beg for things and know if you really need it. Say, fool me. Fool me. Fool me. You know it starts gently. Say, give me. Give me. After a point, now it joins it. Say, give me now. Ah. Then other sounds coming. Give me this thing now. Then people say, is it a fight? Say, it's a fight. Oh. You stay, especially when God has made a promise, when you know that he has the capacity to get it done. See, I'll trouble you. You know that I don't have options. That's how I... there's one. Wale on Takuti, Jesu. You heard that word before? I don't have options. If I go down, I go down. I will not call anybody. You must do this one. I know you can do it. So it's not a problem of ability. I've checked your word. I know you will do it because you have given your word. So you will do it. That's how to say we die here. It's that kind of death. You can die there. It's not with a guy that you are not sure if it's a serious guy. Don't die with him. But with a promise, yes. If you decide not to fulfill it in my lifetime, I will implicate you by telling my children that I have a promise. And you must fulfill it in their lives. So you better do it now. Because of importunity. When you come as a friend. Let's go a little bit further. Still keep reading. Because they are about to... Jesus uses almost 22 verses to answer the question, teach us to pray. But the church has stayed in 4 verses. That's why we read our Father. Try to write books on our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it's still like that. Go ahead.
If a son shall ask bread of any of you.
So he ends that portion by saying, ask. And
you shall receive.
You shall receive. I wish I had time. Seek
and you shall find.
Knock
and shall be opened.
It brings us to 3 streams of feedbacks in God. That there are receptions as feedbacks. There are findings as feedbacks. And there are also openings as feedbacks. When that which you desire is a finding, like purpose now, is a finding. Like marriage now, it's a finding. It means be to seek. When you want a door to be open, you don't come and say, Lord, give me that, you know, and then you walk away. No, you knock. It's a graduation in intensity. The labor is more. You knock. Open doors. Let me put it down. Feedback streams. Just put it that way. We'll teach it later in the year. You knock. That's how you get it. But if you need to receive anything from God, you ask. Remember, Jesus came into it by teaching importunity. It means it's not wrong to ask and ask and ask. It's not wrong to keep seeking, nor is it wrong to keep knocking. You sustain the pressure. You sustain the pressure. Go ahead, my dear. You can't read now. You can't read English if you don't stand. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down.
If a son shall ask bread of any of you,
yes,
that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give for fish a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give gift unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
Good. Now we see in progression, somebody is saying, but it's us, is what the subject is, when they had prayed. I'm trying to teach you what they knew that made them get those results when they prayed. Their prayer was based on an educational platform. Maybe Jesus said many other things to them, but at least these ones are very obvious ones when he taught them prayer. You understand me? Not how to pray, but prayer. When he taught them prayer, it means they imbibed this knowledge and they took it into prayer. I'm going to round up on this quickly now, then we'll do a peep at Matthew. So he says, if a son will ask for a good thing, nourishment is basically what he says there, fish and bread, right? Bread and fish.
Yes, sir.
Okay, bread first, then fish. Okay, so they say it's bread and fish, not fish and bread. You know, rice and beans is not the same thing as beans and rice. The one you mentioned first is the dominant one. Uh-huh. So let's go on. So what they requested was nourishment. There was something lacking. That's what the son is asking. That's why Jesus had to use the example of the Holy Spirit, because it was a facility that was lacking. He says, when a son asks, your father will not give you something harmful. It is to bring you to a place of confidence in God, helping you to define the nature of the givings of God. You can't ask for fish and then he gives you a serpent. It also tells you that they are dangerous lookalikes. Have you seen a fish before? Is as moving as a serpent. And so he uses bread and stone, so that in the day that you claim you receive from God, you need to test in the lab if this is flour or granite. Because the givings of God are not to destroy. That's what he's saying. So we also learn the nature of reception. The day that I know that God cannot give evil in prayer, I will engage to the end. If you now being evil, when your children ask you for good things, you give them good things, how much more will your Father give you to give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? It means that God's definition of good things is what? So when we say, if you have the Holy Spirit, it's all that you need. Somebody says, can we spend him? Yes, it can be spent. It can become currency. I know it. I said it can become currency. Yes. The Holy Spirit still operates as the I am that I am. He can morph into anything that is needed. It's actually all that we need. You cannot be man without the Spirit. That's the design. So it's all that you need to be a man. When you have flesh and blood and bones, your composite, your tripartite nature, that's what tripartite actually means, a composite. three different things that were matched together as one. That's why God is not tripartite. God is triune. It's actually one entity who decides to come up with three personalities, distinct personalities, but it's one. That's the simplest way we can explain, but it's a mystical union. So that's the best that English can help us. They say it's triune, but man is tripartite. It means your body, your soul, your spirit can be self-existing, but for the purpose of your being man, they were put together. You know why you mix curry, sugar and granite with cold water? They are different things, but what you are drinking is a composite. For the purpose of nutritional edification, they have to be combined together. You understand me? What verse are you?
13, sir.
Okay, now speed read it. Give me your Bible, because it's Bible study I want to do. My explanations are not exhaustive. I want you to go back and study what Jesus taught on prayer. I'm just trying to make you know there are many things you skipped in the class. I know you have been praying. You are turbine too, because you have one. You are also a turbine. You can run. But if you missed classes, you still be wrong. The average person who is learning to drive, because he starts the car moves forward, is excited. Where do they most times have difficulty? Reverse. Until the day when you go past the gate and they say come back, we will not know that you did not finish classes, because since the day you could move the car forward, you stop going to driving school. And you know, in Nigeria, the form for driving school is not filled by driving school. Once you pay money, they just take your form, keep it for 3 months, and after 3 months they put all the stamps, they give you a dummy driver's license. God will show us mercy. So he finished that there. Now the next portion looks like it's not part of it. So he said, and he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb, and it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casted out devils through Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. Right? But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them. For some of you, this is not part of prayer, but what he has done is to move us into warfare. He's captured in the school of prayer. The opportunity of the event that happened gave him an opportunity to lecture on casting out devils. So he said, every kingdom that is divided against itself is brought to desolation. A house divided against itself falleth. So if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because he said, I cast out devils through Beelzebub. But if by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast out devils? Therefore they shall be your judges. What he's saying there is a rule that we must understand in prayer, and that's why I included it. Because if you go to the Acts of Apostles, he gives in chapter 1 and 2, he gives an ingredient why prayer works for them and does not work for us. Because you cannot build anything when a kingdom is divided against itself. It's a basic rule in prayer. Every time they prayed for effect, before you see the word prayed, you see a posture. And they were in one. They had to fulfill that part of prayer. So every time we come to prayer divided, you see, it's even better that when we come to prayer, if you have people you pray with, the first thing you do is, who is angry with who here? It is a necessary protocol now. Because the enemy has planted offense and has planted it deep. Who is angry with you? Because people can pray with you even when they hate you. Have you not seen people raising prayer points? And even his haters say amen to his prayer, but in their heart, they still curse him. That's why our prayer is weak. We're too divided. Okay, he wants me to say what I wanted to say the other time. This afternoon, I contacted one of my friends, Apostle Lawa Suleiman, because I had an issue with administering healing yesterday night. Now I'm saying this globally, that there are some things that he teaches that I'm not okay with. You understand? And we share. I raise the issues. But I know that when it comes to healing, he's more proficient than me. So the fact that we have doctrinal disagreements does not mean that we cannot access God together. I have nothing wrong with this person. I have plans to go to Kaduna. I want to sleep in his house. Are you getting me? So I said to him, I had an issue yesterday. There was someone who came with very serious attacks. And even though we know that the devils were evicted, we were now left with the problem of reversing their effects. And it worked to a point, but I saw that we spent too long doing it. And so I left it in the hands of the Spirit, but I've seen him handle such things. Can you educate me? What do you know that I don't know? That the spirits can be evicted, but the side effects are not totally reversed. What do you know that I don't know? As a matter of fact, I could refer the person to him and say, pray for that young lady. Let her live a normal life back. Because devils are bad. They are wicked. In the hierarchy, Satan is the head. But in wickedness, they are more wicked devils. Yes. They are the ones Paul called spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. They are actually not under anybody's government. They are roamers. They are like higher killers in the spirit. You know, an higher killer has no master. Yes. He's a beast without a master. He's just trained to kill. And anyone who will help him perform his enterprise, he submits to that person. That's how they operate. Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, they are more wicked than what Satan will perform. They are like assassins. He's trying to take a bath, stepped into the tub, and then they struck, took the two legs away, took the two eyes away, took the two ears away. And then many years ago, God began to show mercy. Yesterday night, he advanced the sight because she couldn't see too far. Now she began to see far. She could make out a man. She could see the waving of her hand. But she could still not come at a far distance. Into what fingers? So, we started with distance. You stand there, stand there. Can you see him? I can see him. Okay, I'll lay hands again. Now, go back. Can you see? I can see him. Go back again. I can see. Go back again, I can see. So somebody's too far, I can see. Now let's do colors. What color? So everything is black. Okay, so I lay hands again. Check now. That's blue. This is black, another color. That's red. That's green. Okay, good at a distance. Can you make out the guy good? Now start doing fingers. And we got stuck at fingers for like 8 minutes. But I know my friend will pierce through that realm faster than me. If we had the whole night, maybe we'll get the results soon. You know, Jesus does back and forth too. What do you see? I see men as trees. Ah, no. Let's go again. That was my hope. So I told her, don't be tired. We have instructions. She could hear. And then I whispered to her. She said, I can't hear. And she said, no, you have to pick my whispers. And after a while, we began to converse very well. Her legs, yes, not as strong as she's supposed to be. I knew it was a work in progress. But this eye thing, she must see well. So I had to refer the case. Tonight we will still talk. We can pray together. And the only thing that will make us more potent is that we are in one accord, even though we believe differently. I know when somebody believes something against what you believe, it becomes an enemy. And that's why you are where you are. There are fundamental beliefs that makes you a friend with me. There are strange beliefs that I will unfriend you because I know that you are not of God. There are some beliefs that are interpretation. They are petty things. We can ride over them. There are some things that are major things. I won't leave you for that one. I will deal with you. And if you cannot be dealt with, we will be separate for a while so that you not infect me. One accord, a house divided against itself, is a basic ruling prayer. No matter what grounds you have for division, when you come to prayer, if you are divided, you will fall. Even if you call on the name of God, you call in vain. That's what Jesus is saying. Any kingdom, even the kingdom of God, if the kingdom is successfully fragmented, it will not stand. A few weeks ago, I warned us about bitterness. Let it go. Your brother is not your enemy. Your brother may just be a tool. Live above it. Ignore it. I've just noticed that when you ignore people offending, they are more infuriated. They could do. But you have to help ensure that they become more pained because you are normal. Am I talking to you, Christiana? You'll be normal. Angry with you, somebody is trying to hurt you, you are just keep moving. When you cook, give him extra food. Let him eat with every spoon that day will come back, because you can't pray with that person to answer. Let's go quickly to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to stop there. I will not still finish this week. I'll teach something else next week, God willing. Then I'll come back to it 2 weeks time. I'm still trying to perfect my understanding with the legal dimension of prayer. So I'll come back to it later. Yes, Matthew chapter 6 from verse 1. Quickly.
Our Father in heaven.
Matthew 6, 1.
In this manner, therefore, pray.
Mind yourself.
Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven.
Read.
Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in
the
synagogues.
Keep reading. But what Jesus is teaching are the laws of giving, right? Good. So go ahead.
And in the streets, that they might have glory from men. Assuredly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in the secret, and your Father who sees secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites.
Now, what verse is that?
Verse 5.
So it begins the discussion in prayer from verse 5. When you pray, go ahead.
When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. And
now, the first thing Jesus is dealing with here in his prayer education is not the vocalized part of prayer, it's the posture of prayer. I am emphasizing because if you get the vocals right and you get the posture wrong, you will still not get the feedback that they had when they had prayed. They put all these laws into play. That's why they were potent. Go ahead.
They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men.
Okay.
Assuredly, I say to you, they shall have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly.
Can you? That's quite understandable, right? If you want, what Jesus is teaching is the posture of showmanship. A lot of us do it, we don't even stand on the road. I've seen people praying before, and the guy was silent until some brethren were passing. What does he do? He pitches the tongues so that you know that guy, this guy is not praying, he's prayer itself. That acknowledgement that prayer is the reward of that prayer. Whatever you're asking for, you have received a feedback. That acknowledgement has summarized your receptions. That's all you will get. He said, but you, when you pray, you should go into your closet, your innermost places, your secret places. It doesn't mean just a physical secret place. It means there must be a system. It may be emotional, it may be psychological, that is locked away from human acknowledgement. That's where I started from. So in secret, you can pray in your secret place in the crowd. I'm going to do a teaching very soon on the tokens of the secret place. I began to share about it on Facebook a few days ago, so that we understand what the secret place is. That you can pray on, you can go to the mountain to pray and it's still not a secret place. You can pray in the corner of your room and it's still not a secret place, because there are tokens that make it a secret place. So that many people are praying in places, they are studying in places that have lost their secret nature. So you enter into your closet and you shut the door. Lock yourself away from acknowledgement. Lock yourself from trying to please anybody. And then begin to labor, so that your Father who sees your labor in the secret will reward you where?
Openly.
It also tells you that labor in prayer doesn't always bring answers. Oh, you didn't get that. What Jesus is saying will be your feedback openly. It's not an answer. It's what? A reward. A reward is not tied to the request. A reward is tied to engagement. It means God will pay you for your labor, not answer your request in the open. He will pay you for engagement openly. There will be things that people will see, things that people will acknowledge, not your activity, but the feedback. So for those who go to pray in school and snap themselves praying at you know, it's in your room that you prayed, but it's in the open place that you stood, because all of us have seen you praying, and you annotated your picture by saying we are going to imagine the future. That we were excited that you were going to emerge is your feedback. That's the summary of the prayer. Okay, somebody says, Pastor, you are evil. No, it's Jesus that said it. Because when our fathers prayed, they prayed without advertisement. Nobody saw them pray. So that three of us go to pray, and as we are praying, because we want to make everybody know we are praying, we give you the Nokia phone, say you stand there, oh yeah, videos, and then it's folly, and it's the enemy successfully planting a system to self-destruct. Don't you know that you cannot be in prayer accurately when you planted somebody to video you? Where are the tongues coming from the spirit that is conscious that is being videoed? You mean that the movements of your head and your hand is spirit propelled, or that you are doing a show for a camera screen? Are we that naive? That's a simple word. The real word is stupid. And it's not being abusive, it's just being descriptive. we doing? Every time you go for a retreat, we see you going. You pack your bags, I'm going to retreat. Who did Jesus inform when the Spirit moved him? When you get there, we see you. In the evening, you snap yourself eating only bread and water. Say, I'm suffering now, but in the future. What is this about? Don't we read scriptures? Now, the prayer times are sincere prayer times, but the protocols that have been broken ensures that you will not emerge. It's painful. There's a lot of man hours being burnt in prayer, but because people did not from scriptures into prayer. All of us pray. The fact that we don't talk about the fact that we pray, I pray. If you enter a vehicle with me traveling, you'll be implicated. So I always sit by the window so that nobody will say, you are disturbing me. God showed us mercy from Asaba this morning. The man was playing some Igbo praise and worship, and it was loud. Even the Muslim guy said, this man is disturbing us. If we are playing our own, the driver was like deaf. Is his car now? Playing like that till we got to Ijebuode. He now lowered the thing. The Muslim man said, you see, me, I'm even enjoying it now. I said, don't worry. We needed it loud that time because you can put tongues under it. It's noise. You just generate it. There are some people whose prayer life is invisible now, but the future will testify to the fact that they prayed. And that's what it should be like. I love people saying things like, Tolu, how did you become like this? And that's the part I like. The oven that bakes bread is not an open oven, it's a closed one. The ground that converts a seed of maize and breaks the breaking of that seed and the sprouting happens underneath. Babies don't grow outside the womb, outside the stomach. They grow in the womb. Anything that wants to grow well grows in secret. Even the ones that grew in secret, the enemy came for it. Talk less of the one that grows in the open. We open ourselves to unusual battles. Who told you that longer prayer hours makes you more spiritual? Maybe you have more problems. That's why you pray longer. Or maybe you are less aligned. There are things that will make us see how weak we are. Those are the things we advertise. You think miracle power is that hard to get? You think it's hard to be blessed? You think it's hard to get to the platform? Ask those who are there. It's simple things they did, like obedience. Now you prayed all your life, you have not become anything, you are not humble to know that there's something you are missing. You know how T.D. Jakes prayed? Even till now, I don't think we know his prayer life. If you have any video that shows his prayer life, if he sleeps for 10 hours, he can from sleep preach for another 10 hours. You think Bishop Oyedepo needs to study notes to preach? That time he was praying. He's now he's telling us story. When the reward has been seen in the open, now he wants to lead another generation to that secret place, so he's advertising it. But we do these advertisements. See, I'm wearing one trouser now because Apostle Roman said he has one trouser. Are you where he is? Wear your one trouser secretly. Wear your half shoe secretly. And then when you are in the open, because now that you're advertising it, you still have one trouser, and we are not sure if you will have two. So the story does not make sense. Sorry, it's a burden. It's not part of the sermon, but it's a big burden. That if we read scriptures, we will direct our lives differently. It's already a sign that you do not study scriptures. The process need not be advertised when it's still a process. The product is what makes the process attractive. So when a loaf of bread sees them mixing dough and is going into the oven, this one says, I'm afraid. That one says, don't worry, it's the only way. Is that not how it happens? Says your market value will increase if you can endure the oven. Say, really? Say, because now if they buy you, they'll throw you away. But you can become 200 naira Lautech bread. Enter the oven. Paul had proofs. And then he said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than ye all. We had seen an excelling life. And then he gave voice to it. May God grant us grace to lock up. I'll shine when the last time I was in London with my son Timothy on something I saw on a WhatsApp page. Maybe one of you, a story of looked like an Indian story, where an elderly man was asked, what advice do you have for young people? You've seen it too, when he was talking about mango trees. He said, I used to be a mango, and there's a lesson from mango farming in India, that when you plant mangoes, he said, after about 14 months it grows to a height and then it flowers. Once it flowers, it means the next thing is that if the flowers naturally fall off, it's going to fruit. He said, but what the wise mango farmer does is that he's not after the fruiting now. He consciously cuts off the flower so that for the first year there's no fruit, second year there's no fruit, third year there's no fruit. He said, because once a tree starts, the same nutrient a tree requires to grow is what it requires to fruit. So if it fruits prematurely, it will stop growing. There are some of you have been offered stages prematurely and you took them. What will happen is that the revelations you are supposed to grow with is what you have started preaching now. The prayers you are supposed to pray in secret is what you're already leading the open. The sounds that were supposed to mature and acquire spirit material secretly is what you're already pushing out, because you think it's already time for relevance. That's why you stop growing. Because what God is giving right now is for growth, not for show. If you grow well, it's God that displays his jewels. You don't need to. I know that there are people who actually advertise themselves as in ministry, you know. So you have a program. That day will not break. We'll rather keep doing the little that we're doing, because it's little, very little. We'll keep doing it. And the day Jesus says, I want to advertise you, let him advertise you. If he chooses not to advertise us, we stay here. Some of you were here when we were 8, when we were 11. I don't think we're preaching differently, because number was not a motivation. I remember somebody met me one day. I said, we don't have men matured yet to handle numbers. So I told God, let us be small. As men or stature rise amidst us, let numbers increase. Because I don't want to begin to preach the crowd. That's what almost happened in Acts of the Apostles. The crowd comes with a message and it can derail a man if he has not grown. They have received their reward. But when you labor in secret, God rewards you in the open. Read on, sunshine.
But when you pray.
Now, so what Jesus did here was to teach a posture very important. I don't know if he arranged it in the order of importance, but he had to sort that matter. Because there was an example in their day that the Pharisees, we stand at the corner so that everybody sees them praying, that these are the sanctimonious guys, these are the pious guys. Oh, these guys are praying. See, let's sort this posture thing. When you have sorted the posture thing, this is how you now do the secret prayer.
Use not vain repetitions as the heathen do.
Use not vain repetitions. That's a protocol in prayer. Have you seen the hidden pray before? Oh, you don't know vain reputations. You don't have friends who are our other guys. Have you seen them run prayer lines before? Are you guys not observant? Our other brethren, the other children of our father Abraham, have you seen them do vain repetitions before? They pick a line and then they keep. Our other man say, well, maybe it's, I'm not saying it's wrong. You know, when we're small, we used to go to crusades, and it's a crusade order of prayer. How many of you know it? Oluwa, ba, 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 ba. And if we continue, people will go into what you call a frenzy. A loss of consciousness happens. That's what chants actually do. They reduce your consciousness in one realm, they build it in another realm. That's how our brethren do. So he says, do not use vain repetitions like the hidden. So you need to go and study how the hidden do it. Because the thinking that powers vain repetitions is different from importunity. Importunity is powered by faith. Vain repetitions from scriptures is powered by the mindset that because of,
for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking.
For their much speaking is based on trying to use a physical thing to appease God. It's not faith. Say, if I say it much, God will hear much. He will quickly hear. That's the difference. I can keep asking for the same thing because of God's integrity. And I can keep asking because I think, because I talk much, God will hear. It's like using flesh to try and get to God. That's what crashed the Tower of Babel. Go ahead.
Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him.
Go ahead.
After this manner therefore pray ye.
So it goes to the vocal part of it. Go from verse 11.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Okay. Forgive us.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Next verse.
For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
It's still part of prayer. Go ahead.
But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces.
Now it takes us out of prayer and brings us fasting, because it's a component of effective prayer. So Oba is fasting. Say, Oba, carry the speaker now. Say, I'm fasting. Fasting becomes an excuse or an alibi to come out of responsibility. Because it becomes a tool to show that you are more spiritual than the other person. There is a common line in prayer here that it is designed to be an incident, sunshine. Amount of time is designed to be an interaction between man and God. This posture in prayer is supposed to lock man into that line of interaction. There must be nothing you do that makes people feel, oh, he's doing it well. It's between you and God. Don't stand where they can see you. Don't do it for show. Don't repeat it so that your flesh is even furnished with the reality that, oh, he's doing it well, that's why he's getting answers. No, it's all based on faith. Even when there you encounter this kind and it needs to go by prayer and fasting, don't carry a long face lest they begin to feel, oh, okay, he's actually fasting. It takes practice anyway. Because you don't know if I'm fasting, you don't know. If I'm fasting, if I'm not fasting, you don't know. I'm just there. My stomach knows that it has been trained that whether I am fasting or not, food is not optimum. You understand? That's my own stomach. Maybe your own is not like that. And don't be like that. Because if God wants you to be like that, He will instruct you like that and give you grace for it. If I don't eat for 3 days and I'm not consciously seeking anything, I'm just there, I will not die. You may get to health center. I'm wired not to be a food person. My hosts were afraid. Sir, what are you eating? Is it rice? Is it pounded yam, pando yam? I said, see, I'm not a food person. Just, I had food in the morning, I eat in the night. So I ate in the morning one light meal. In the night I took maybe rice at about 1 a.m. And I did hold my stomach once. It's normal for me. Have you eaten today? Are you hungry again? Gradually. That's your own frame. This is my own frame. I'm not like that. I'm still fine. Such that if I get home and I feel tired and I sleep, I'll wake up tomorrow morning, we'll still be going. That's me. So it's not, there are no things to throw around. We must gain mastery on prayers that is locked into the praying man and God. Prayers that are not environmentally influenced, but are influenced because you have been brought into a spiritual place and afforded the privilege of meeting God by this tool of spirit fellowship, meeting God as your father, meeting God as your friend. When I teach on the legal aspect of prayer, I will go to Luke chapter 18. And why I need to do that is because for the different kinds of prayers, there are different rules. There are different rules. These are the things that people learned. It was not that they were special, but humility is the protocol that births prayer. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, because a proud man can pray, but in praying a proud man will break these rules. That's why his prayer becomes important. It means you don't need to cram these laws. If you put humility before prayer, you will have fulfilled all these counsels. You will not pray to show yourself. You will not think that it's flesh that advances you in prayer, just by being humble. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because somebody is saying we can't remember everything. So the nature of the spirit drops in your heart, because he said what he will do is not give us laws to read. That okay, I want to pray now. Don't stand at the junction. So you go back. Close your door and then you close it. Now pray. You are about saying it again. No, keep quiet. Say another thing. He says, I will write my laws in their heart. So in the day that a man wants to do prayers effectively, wants to gain mastery on prayer, he only needs to ask for a nature. Humility. When you acquire that nature as a gifting, because it's actually one of the character traits of the person of the Christ. Humble. Meekness. When you acquire that nature, the outplay of that nature makes you keep the governing laws of prayer. I pick my words when I start to lead prayer, not because I want to sound highly grammatical. It's because I don't mount this podium in confidence. It's a long time. I sing not because I want to entertain. I sing because I feel I'm too far away. I need to be transported. They are all signs of weakness. That's what I'm saying. On the night when, you know, when we left the UCU meeting in Loring and then we went to the other meeting, Unshakable Kingdom, when I stood, I didn't know what to say because my body was like they beat me. I was tired. I was with Timothy. And, you know, people are where is Ife? Is she here tonight? Does she has traveled? Your friends, have they traveled? The two of them. Okay, they were in that meeting. Do they live in Ilorin? Abeokuta, but they were in that meeting in Ilorin. I stood at the podium and I was like, what should I do? It was a vision that God gave me, that gave me the boldness to preach. We're not many. I see you here. I see you here. I see you here. I see you here. Oh. You're reaching out to me. You're saying I am loved. I see you here. Oh, you're reaching out to me. You're saying I am loved. I see you. I see you here. I see you here. Oh, 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 oh. You're reaching out to me. You're saying I am loved. I see. It was that song that I sang plenty times, and then the consciousness of his being in the meeting came. That's when I could preach. The postures in prayer are as important as the utterances in prayer. It is because the realm that judges your prayer can both read utterances, but it goes beyond the judgment of utterances. It goes into the heart. And that's what God uses to truly judge prayer. He can pierce into motives. So you must come right. It's not enough to speak right. You must come right. That's what Jesus did. He built rightness or righteousness around the utterances of prayer. Those were some of the tools by which the early church trafficked. They were more conscious of the state of the men that came to prayer than what was actually said in prayer. And when they had prayed, the place shook. I said last week that it can be repeated, and God will show us mercy because it will be repeated. But as we go back home tonight, we must embody the postures. Let the Spirit get you to a place where you are right in prayer before you speak right in prayer. I prepared for that session, but I don't know what happened to my confidence, and God does it so many times. Just like yesterday night when I walked into that meeting, for God's sake, what they wanted me to teach was life in the Spirit. It's something that I am at home with, but God took away my confidence. And so I went to the stage timid. I tried to sing a song. The guy on the keyboard probably had never heard the song before, so he was playing his song. So I tried another song, he didn't get it. I said, let's not use songs, because you can know a pathway can give you confidence in the flesh. So I said, don't play again. Now Holy Spirit, he said, now scriptures. So I now took a verse of scripture and began to build and build and build and build. And then that guy started playing well. Pushed us into a prophetic mode. So I said, no, no, no. Stop playing or play low. God will anoint your hands. God used that same guy to ferry us into the spirit. But I was not a confident man. That night I was preaching, and then as I led us to pray, we had to pray to submit ourselves under the mighty hand of the Holy Spirit. I felt it was just for him to anoint us. I did not know that when you come under his mighty hand, it's a dealing place. Be careful what you pray for. And then it was as though he came with a digger and a shovel. So he will strike the ground and pull out something. So that's why that song that Sunshine sang led us to sing. You know, it made a lot of sense to me. Or maybe when she was talking about laying it down. Because I lacked words at a point in my prayer to pray. And all I could go was, I lay it down before you. I lay it down before you. Rain on me, rain over me. Spirit, I lay it down before you. Oh, I lay it down before you. Tolu lays it down before you. Oh, Spirit, rain over me. Rain over me. You are my King. I didn't know where the lines came from, but I felt small. The vehicle was prayer. Paul spoke in tongues more than them all, but his confession was, we are the circumcision. Those were their feedbacks when they had prayed. Not just the shaking, confidence died. If it was the same Holy Ghost, or if it is the same Holy Ghost that is helping us to pray, why is it that your own prayer brings you to a place of confidence? Something is wrong. And I want to close at this point tonight, giving us the opportunity, in case you won't do it again at home, to ask him to teach you to pray. We don't know enough. Some of the captivities in our families are still in place because we have not been taught to pray. I can't even hear the sound of prayer. It's not what we are asking for tonight. It's the exposure to an educational system. They knew it. That's why they got results. We don't know it. You must get to an end of yourself where you admit, I don't know enough. I've been speaking in tongues all my life. Maybe that's your testimony. But your results are few.
Oh, I lay it down before you.
One of the things you are casting down tonight is our ignorance.
Rain over me. Rain over me. You are my King. You are my God. Spirit, I lay down before you.
I draw
of my knowledge. I lay down before you. Oh, yes, Spirit, I lay down before you. Yeah, oh, you lay it down before you. Yeah. Me, you are my King, my teacher. You are, yeah. I lay it down before you. Ekato si ekebale ke araba. I lay it down. I lay down before you. My prison songs tonight. I lay down before you. Oh, 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 reign over me. Spirit, reign over me. You are my King. I take, I call. Yes, I lay it down before you. Aha, echo, shabalate teleboria tapahai. Echo, kanda basabala kabaya. Alekebeno simbararade. Yes, I lay it down, Lord.
For you, reign over me.
You are my King.
You are my King.
My teacher, you are. My teacher, you are.
Reign over me.
You are my tutor in life.
You are my tutor.
Before you tonight, I come ignorant. Let me know what the apostles knew. Open up to me your educational system. Let me be taught to pray. Let me be taught to pray. I come to be taught. I come to be taught. I come to be taught. To be taught to ask. To be taught to seek. To be taught to knock.
Reign over me. Reign over me.
I lay it down before you. My Dadosina Manat. I lay it down before you. Tobas. My Totokamat. I bakele Toria Tabamate Duat. Bereke de Lima. Eti Minas Sabilato. Bakole Kabarate Mio Testa. Mio Testa. Mio testa pariete le vocomita acabata. Ai, a che le me corialata, martava la tua cara l'andressete. Ehi, ai, 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 lay down before you. I lay down before you.
Instruct me. Instruct me. I lay it down before you. Lord, you can school me. Indoctrinate me. Lay it down before you. Thank you, Father. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. As we walk through scriptures, we understand that you said, there were many things you said that were actually showings. You said so much, but you said there are many things that I want to show you. My utterances were actually visionary encounters, but you could not bear them. How be it? The promise was that at the coming of the Spirit of Truth, a people will be guided into all truth, including the realities of prayer. We come to be guided. I lay down the years of experience in prayer. Lord, let us pray now. Teach me to pray now. I have a track record in fasting, but teach me to fast now. I've been a worshiper for many years, over 3 years, but Lord, teach me to worship. I grew up studying the Bible. Lord, teach me to study. Your way. Your way. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. I ask, Lord, that a craving will be released by the sounds of my voice tonight, that may bring men into that place of inquiry. A panting to achieve your models will be restored everywhere this sermon will be heard. That men will become discontent with that which has stopped working, and men will go back into the original models. By panting. Oh, let a thirst be born. A thirst for the original. A thirst for the unrevised, for the unmodernized. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. You can be seated. We close now. When we return,
I'm sure you've been blessed by this message. Fellowship with us at this Worship Christian Center, HWCC, for the restaurant on Daji Odomosho, Oyo State, Nigeria. You can also join us to worship on our e-platforms, Facebook, www.facebook.com/ Is Worship Christian Center, or join us on Twitter at HWCC Nigeria. God bless.